Hello, Pisces, and welcome to Astrology Studio for 2019. My name is Eric Francis. I've got the Pisces chart in my hands, and what a chart it is. This morning was the full moon in your opposite sign, Virgo, and there are a lot of planets in Pisces right now, and one of them is not Chiron. Well ahead of the sun entering Pisces yesterday, Chiron entered Aries after an approximately 9-year run through your sign, our sign. And that's a long time for Chiron to be in a sign. It spends that much time in Pisces and in Aries, just a little bit longer in Aries, actually, for example, as opposed to when it's on the other side of the zodiac and spends just 18 months each in Virgo and Libra. It is on the slow side now, and so it very, very slowly moved through Pisces over the past decade, which went amazingly quickly. I remember Chiron entering Pisces like it was yesterday, and now we are all off to some new adventure. Though you are left to review this extraordinary transit, complex transit, because Chiron has so many different modes of action, and in Pisces is particularly multifaceted and is responsible for focusing all of that numinous, misty, ethereal, spiritual energy of Pisces, all of that pure potential of the Pisces ocean. And also, you know, Pisces is the delta of the zodiac. It's where everything flows in, and then it is carried down stream, and then the very bottom of the river, there's a place where it meets the ocean, and this is Pisces. So it's a combination of all the potential. I think you can find something like 80 elements from the periodic table of the elements in seawater. I can't find them all. Maybe with sensitive enough equipment, you could find them all. But there's a lot of elements in seawater, and that's how I think of Pisces, as being the place of all potential, and then also the destination of all things. And that that means that you can have a lot of karma to deal with. And what Chiron has been doing has been moving you through all that karma and bringing it to your awareness, and making sure that you process it and make the changes that you have needed to make. So in case you're wondering what was going on, that was of course a pretty intense trip, even more so if you were born between approximately 1960 and early 1969. Chances are 99% certain you've had your Chiron return, and if you haven't, you're about to have it. If you're born with Chiron in very early Aries from 1969, but chances are that if you're born between 60 and certainly 68, you have been through the return of Chiron, one of the most meaningful and challenging of the midlife transits. I think there really is nothing even vaguely comparable to it. And kind of makes me wonder how astrologers could have even worked without Chiron and how they some continue to do so today. So when we turn 50, that's the Chiron return. And it's the latest in a series of warm-up transits that, depending on what your chart is, there might be something very personal to you. You know, Chiron touches your ascendant or your moon, but the Chiron to Chiron transits are the Chiron first square, which for someone at midlife, usually midlife now, usually happens around late teen, early 20s. It varies, of course, from sign to sign. But if you, for example, have Chiron in Pisces, you had your first square at about 22. And it can be as early as 7. Anyway, then your opposition, and then second square, and then the return. And together these tell a story. And it's kind of a microcosm of that story when Chiron goes through your sign. And it's just on that. So as I said many times, early in Chiron and Pisces, there would be a time when Chiron was no longer in Pisces, and then you would be on your own to learn all the things that you had learned, to like put to use and to continue to master all the things that you learned and that began under the influence of Chiron in Pisces. And this is, you could say processing karma, and then you could also say that there has been this very long exercise in bringing to awareness all of the things that are potentially obscured by, concealed by, hidden by this kind of misty, mystical realm of Pisces. So what now begins is Chiron moving through your second house, your second place, the second house in the archetypal Pisces chart. It's called that the solar chart. That doesn't quite convey the idea that I'm trying to convey, which is the archetypal chart for Pisces, the chart for the sign, not for an individual person, but as a chart for the sign, it applies to individual people. And so in the second place, we have themes like money, values, priorities, and how you feel about yourself. And I know that Pisces is one of those signs where there seems to be this strange self-esteem thing. I mean, this is a universal issue on the planet right now, especially if you live someplace where the concept has actually arrived. If you like read the word self-esteem somewhere, chances are that this impacts you in some way. And this is the second house. And the thing is that you, by all rights, will get a big return on your investment should you invest your energy into basically organizing your life and all of your choices around respecting yourself. There are many forces competing. We are raised on many lies about ourselves, which make it difficult to respect ourselves. But now with Chiron to stay in your second place now for another 8 years, this is a long-term project. And it's a complex aspect pattern. Actually, it's complex because there are so many other slow movers involved. So, for example, in Aries, Chiron is now officially in a long conjunction with a point called Salacia. And this is about all of the different facets of sexual maturity, or more likely the lack thereof. That's usually the problem we have in our culture. And so your healing process is going to inevitably marry itself to a process of sexual maturity and understanding this quite potentially as the missing piece in your process of cultivating self-esteem and self-respect. It is a topic that is usually left out of the world. It has pretty much been edited from our discussions about ourselves. And at this stage in social history of the Western world and certainly the United States, been fully commodified into a political topic, as if there is no public discourse possible about sexuality, and that would extend into relationships, without politicizing it. It's a bad state of affairs, because the whole problem is that this is not inherently political. It becomes that way. There's various invasions of the public sphere onto the private sphere, and what kind of relationships can you have? Who are you allowed to relate to? What are you supposedly allowed to do? It's almost like we're living in these oppressive Victorian times again. When the truth is, you need to just do what it is that you need to do, and you need to be who you are, and have that not be dictated by society. Now, this is challenging. In times when feminism was a bit more sophisticated, and authors such as Adrienne Rich were the main purveyors of ideas. Adrienne talked about how there is no private life that is not in some way influenced by a wider public life. And this is all over your charts these days, because there is so much in the public life that is influencing you, and there's so much about the choices that you need to make that's as if it's walking this edge between the public and the private, and always leaning a little bit into being subjected. You are constantly leaning into being subjected to the kind of influences and judgments of the public realm. And there may have been some of this going on over the past 12 months as well. The kind of experimental phase of Chiron leaving Pisces. And here's the thing. This is not the public realm is really your family in disguise. In the archetypal Pisces chart, the solar chart, the 11th place, the social life, friends and groups, and basically, I think of the 11th as like your friends and their friends, right? Friends of friends and friends is the 11th, as opposed to the crowd at a stadium. So the 11th is the social world in which you move. And you have Capricorn on this house, which is suggestive of a lot of influence of family coming through here anyway. Though, in recent years, you've had Pluto, which arrived shortly before Chiron arrived in your sign, Pluto arrived in Capricorn, and even more recently than that, Saturn showed up in 2017. That's a very familial type of planet, and you know, there's often associations with family and Saturn. And then two high potency minor planets have also arrived in the past year. One is called Pholus, a centaur, the second centaur, after Chiron, which was the first, followed by Quaoar, Q-U-A-O-A-R, which is about cosmic origins of the family and the tribe. Pholus is the more recent. So Quaoar takes the story back, way back from the beginning. Where did our tribe come from? Did we come from the Pleiades or, you know, Ireland? Or what's the story of the family going over on the boat? And even long before that, what's my heritage? Everyone's digging into their DNA these days. So Quaoar is back to the point of origins. Pholus starts with where you are and counts back three additional generations. So there's two kinds of family influences in Capricorn right now. And that you might say they're the long and the short of it. Or as Joyce said, the he and the she of it. And these planets are in aspect to Chiron and Stellatia. And so there is this configuration, there's this pattern of finding your way in your relationships, in the way that you want to have your relationships and the people that you want to have your relationships with, assuming they want to have them with you, where there is this intricate interplay between the social pressures of the 11th house and what is really right and true for you. And to be happy, there is no way that you can blow off whatever it is that you know, must be right and true for you, what must be in accord with your values. The thing is, you are now embarking on a process of finding out what your values are. So Chiron in the second, we could easily say, is about a reorientation of your priorities. And, you know, there's no taking Stellatia out of that equation. I mean, it's just there. I mean, to give you a concept of how powerful this point is, it is Stellatia entering Aries is the very sigil of the Me Too movement, because it's Stellatia on the Aries point. And when Stellatia arrived on the Aries point, there was this explosion of the salacious into public consciousness at the point where the private life meets the public life. That's the Aries point. And so this huge thing exploded, and it's basically impacted every last person in Western civilization, but one of the modes of impact has just been this deluge of non-stop gossip. And it is seductive in that it's like being sold as social responsibility. It could even seem like social responsibility. We all know there's a problem that has to be addressed. But progress has come in the form of like 50,000 gossip articles. And more confused and frightened people. And this is not home for you. This is not, there's no Chiron in there. There's no there's no focus, there's no orientation on healing that you need. And in this typical style of the way the world has been inverted, has just been eviscerated and turned inside out, that for you to have Pholus and Quaoar moving through Capricorn, your public realm, all this intimate family stuff and tribal stuff, and kind of project itself onto the sky. It's kind of really a little strange and a little intense and very modern, right? Because there is so much of taking this deeply intimate private stuff and like spreading it like peanut butter and jelly on bread, only you're the peanut butter and jelly and the bread is the world. And so we live in this time where there are no private thoughts at all, and where the whole world turns into your group therapy session and you're kind of navigating your way through. And the delicate spot here is that you can't let public versions of morality influence you. Your influences must come from inside you. First of all, you couldn't really let them influence you to do anything but go nuts, because there's no coherency, there's no consistency, there's no actual cultural standard. There's just a whole bunch of kind of anarchy, and not in the high personal responsibility sense of anarchy, but anarchy in the sense of toxic chaos. That's not going to teach you anything, except you must find what is right for you and what is true for you. And this relates to everything. And with Salacia involved, it relates to your entire erotic reality. But from there, it's important to see how your entire larger reality comes out of that one seed crystal of your self-awareness and maturity and growth being directly integrated with your deepest, innermost sexual reality, and the way that that is a core of your self-esteem. And what I'm suggesting here is that if you want to feel good about who you are, if you want to feel better about yourself, but really if you want to feel good about who you are, this is the place to dance. This is the place to hang out. These are the priorities to work on and to adjust, to suss out, to investigate, and to invest yourself, great second house concept, into this deep personal inquiry into who you are. And while this is happening, you're going to have these connection points to the wider society. You're going to have these connection points to the way in which this kind of mythical family of origin that is the world, that is the human family, that is the family of all the people you associate with, and all their various judgments and opinions, and all of their individual and collective history that leads to that, all of that's going to be trying to bang your door down. Or you step out of the door and you're suddenly in the middle of it all. And while you're doing that, never forget that you're personally on a conscious, focused path of self-inquiry that of necessity, dire necessity, touches on these subjects, while the world at large has no such responsibility. There's exceedingly few people even interested. I imagine as this Chiron, Salacia, Pholus, Quasar pattern, which is the dominant outer planet pattern now. People haven't heard of these planets. You have. I mean, Salacia, square Quasar. But this is the crystal that's going to be the orientation point of our society for quite a while to come. And the very peak of this, with Chiron right in the mix, is 19 into 20, 2019 into 2020. And you have this all placed in this space of consciousness where the imperative that you live with is getting to know yourself and understanding what for you is right and true, which means becoming increasingly intimate with who you really are and what you really value. And if you are someone who has ever struggled with self-esteem, or struggled with feeling invisible, or struggled with feeling left out, or feeling smaller than you are, this group of transits, challenging though it is, will make it as close to inevitable that you find your way and find yourself as is, you know, possible on this planet. And while this is going on, there is so much churning and exploding in this tumultuous way in society around us. Just speaking astrologically, the planets really are, for the most part, concentrated in Capricorn, Pisces, and Aries right now. And the Capricorn scene is this kind of world without boundaries, and a world where there is so much instability and like crunching and grinding and turmoil and controversies that people just seem to need to, you know, pick their side of, polarize out and fight on one side of a particular issue. That's not your dharma. You need to maintain the we could say the objectivity of detachment, or the extreme subjectivity of knowing that you are viewing the world from your particular personal angle. And this takes you a step back from things. And it's fortunate that it does. Because you need to have a mode where you are not subjected to the, you know, the constant controversy of the outer world. However that might work, it may be very subtle. You may be feeling it as an unspeakable tension at work. You may be more directly involved in political activism in some way, and these issues are just like all over the place, like, you know, people wearing, you know, Mets t-shirts at a Mets game, like everyone's just got their thing on their shirt and their number on their back, and, you know, trying to claim their identity and their position. But you don't really show up so much in the crowd. The essential focus of your relationships would seem to be cultivating the one-on-one type of bond. You are likely to have many of these, but to bear in mind that every relationship, no matter how many people seem to be involved, or how big of a group seems to be involved, or whether someone is polyamorous with two partners, or five or 10 partners, and all this, whatever the seeming social arrangement is, every bond is a one-on-one bond. Every relationship is a one-on-one relationship and needs to be treated in that way that is specific to the relationship. So there's not a one-size-fits-all even for you. Every individual person needs to be treated with the specific distinction of being who they are. And then you do that Pisces thing and modify and adapt your reality. One point that I'll close on is that Chiron in Aries to me seems to be about claiming back identity from the internet, and that is a way of another way of saying, well, a group and a kind of a false collectivism that the internet is and that can't really support anyone's identity at all, right? Because it does not work that way. That's not what it is. That's not the point. It's a vast, boundless public realm that has turned everyone inside out and encouraged people to be more automated and robotic and predictable and rigid, and to purge our lives of feeling. And Chiron is an inversion of that. That, for you, it would seem, has reached its maximum potential. There's no further you can go into this digital madness. The journey has to be back inward, back toward yourself. And let Chiron guide you back into your body. Let Chiron guide you back into your awareness, not of what you identify with, not of what you think you're supposed to be, but of an experience and a direct sensation of who you are from the inside out. That is your point of orientation, your inner reality as it informs your entire life. And you know, this is not always that simple, but Chiron grants focusing power. You've had a lot of experience with Chiron. You've had a lot of experience of seeing what not to do and who not to be, and of discovering who you are not and discovering what does not work for you. And now it is time to claim that knowledge and further to claim what means something to you, what you place in the category of necessity as opposed to desire, and to refine your own deep sense of belonging on this planet. And I know it's challenging. It's not easy, but you are up to the task, and you're not going to settle for anything less. All right, I'm going to come back to you tomorrow and leave you with some fairly recently composed music from, I think from Friday night or something like that. So I've been working on it for a while, but this is Vision Quest. And the piece is called Strange Set of Paradise.